You're listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Hey, what's going on, Columbus, Ohio, and the rest of my podcast audience? This is that guy, Kenny Hodge, and welcome to the show. Today's show, I'm going to sound or attempt to sound as if I know just a little bit about postal operations. In Columbus, Ohio, effective today, if you'll notice on the backside or the inside of the apps machine, you're going to see three large FedEx air freight containers. Now, I hope postal management takes the time to educate the employees on how to properly load those containers. It seems very simple, but it's a piece of equipment that Columbus, Ohio postal employees are not used to using. So it is important that before you start to load that, I would hope that the supervisor will get, well, first I would hope the supervisor would learn the correct way and then pass that information on immediately, if not sooner, to any employee who's working on the apps that's going to load that FedEx air freight container. Or when you see the three FedEx air freight containers, you'll notice that they sit on their own railing. In other words, they're not stationary in the floor. It is a mobile setup. And one thing I noticed immediately, and I must say, when I saw it, I also seen one of the maintenance supervisors, Nate Rooker. He was having a conversation with your union steward, Yolanda, and I noticed that together they observed that there were some pinch points on the railing in which the FedEx container sat. When I say pinch points, I'm talking sharp edges at the end of the rail. After looking at the situation, the maintenance supervisor, Nate, agreed that there was a potential hazard there, and he would put cones on all the ends of the railing, again, just to further alert or, you know, go a little a step further to make employees aware that it's not safe to cross over at this point. Now, most of you that know me know my perspective is real different from most. But I want to just say, sitting in the back of the apps or being in the back of the apps, watching the supervisor and the union steward agree that there was a potential hazard and without any ado agree to just fix it, I gotta tell you, I really appreciated that exchange. Now, my understanding is that those FedEx containers will be placed on the apps on tour 2, positioned there for mail that is processed by tour 3 and tour 1, and then dispatched by tour 1. That's just my understanding. But it just seems a little odd to have big FedEx containers inside of a postal facility. Somebody, either on the FedEx side or the Postal Service side, is losing manpower. Now, we being a union, we should be very concerned with that. Now, before the FedEx containers arrived, mail that was processed on the apps went in either BMCs or APCs. Then they were moved over to an area called Scan Where You Ban. And from there, they were then dispatched to the dock waiting on road transportation to FedEx facilities, worldwide facilities. Now what happens is you load that mail directly into a FedEx air freight container, and I'm not sure what happens with it from there. I don't know if it still goes to Scan Where You Ban. Has that part been eliminated? I don't know now that once those BMCs or APCs are loaded and it requires mail handlers, level 5 mail handlers, to transport them to the dock, I don't know how they sidestep that. I'm simply saying, and it is my intention, just to raise curiosity because naturally I'm going to research a little further. But when you bring the competitors, now I know our mail flies FedEx, but when you bring their equipment into our building, will it be long before they have their people loading their equipment in postal facilities? It's just something to make you say, good, strong union leadership is always looking at today, but constantly thinking about tomorrow. And just for the record, I don't put these changes that the post office is making that I don't agree with and most members don't agree with, I don't put that solely on the back of our branch president. That young man is new and there's much to learn, but I do fault the next level up for not being there to guide him through these tumultuous times. And since we're talking about outside contractors inside of postal facilities, let me also say that to the mail handlers who set up equipment to be dispatched on the apps and the bundle sorter, there is a specific reason why hampers are to be used instead of boxes. Now, no one has probably ever explained this to you before, so I'm going to take the time now and do it. There are certain associate offices who don't have pallet jacks or lifts, so they can only accept hampers. But the post office, always in the search for more productivity in lieu of service, they want to run boxes on your apps and your bundle sorter because it allows them to process more mail without changing out equipment. Now, on one hand, that seems perfectly normal, but let me tell you the backside of that story. The contract drivers who pick up mail on the docks to dispatch to associate offices, well, they have equipment designed for certain types of postal equipment to be transported. If they deliver mail to an office that can only accept hampers, when you send those boxes of mail out to the dock, it requires that driver to cross-load, take that mail out of a box, find a hamper, put it in a hamper, and then they can go ahead and dispatch the mail to the office. Well, see, the problem with that is most contract drivers, by contract, are required to be there 15 minutes before their leave time. If those contract drivers decide to honor their contract, there's going to be a lot of mail left on the docks. Now everybody's going to get in a frenzy. So all I'm saying to you is if you really care about service to our customers, stop putting that extra load on those contract drivers. I mean, again, have this conversation with your supervisor. Of course, I'm not asking you to do anything against postal rules and regulations. But if you are concerned about service to our customer, then your customer, in this case, would be that contract driver who you are preparing mail for to take to an associate office. If the machine requires a hamper, then you make every attempt to put a hamper on that machine. I know it's a lot easier and boxes are much more convenient, but you have to understand the total picture. By you putting a box there, your supervisor is never going to correct it because most of them are not familiar with the actual setup of the equipment that they supervise every day. But they have labels on them, and if you follow that guidance, now you're going to be a benefit to that contract driver who is going to be a benefit to that associate office as they move mail more expeditiously out of Columbus into the associate offices. And while I'm on this operational soapbox, a message to the mail handler, level 5 pit operators. Why don't you take the time and put shit where it's supposed to be? I mean, come on. This is what you call union leadership. This isn't pro-management type conversation. This is what you call union leadership. When you speak to the members of your craft and you instruct them on, or you remind them that there's a proper way to do your job. Now, let me say, when I say put things where they're supposed to be, I'm not talking to everybody, okay? But I'm talking to 90% of us. Now, there are some mail handlers, drivers, particularly like that bulk mail unit on tour two. My man keep his area pristine, so I'm not talking to you. It's important. If you bring something in his area and you don't put it in the right place, you feel that look that you get. And it's cool, but you put it in the right place. Now, the rest of us, come on, we have to take the time and learn your craft. Your craft ain't just to take mail from point A to point B and drop it off. Part of your craft is to be proficient in what you do. So when you take mail to an area that might require you to get off and move some other APCs around so that you can safely put your mail there, then that's what you are supposed to do. As new employees, you see, or you have become accustomed to, I'm going to take it to an area, I'm going to drop it, I'm going to leave. No, that's not what we do. Well, that's not what you should do. And again, this is another thing that your supervisor will see you do and probably never correct you. But if you want to learn your craft the proper way, when you take mail to an area, you are supposed to store that mail in that area. And if that means getting off of your piece of equipment to move some things around, or using your equipment to move some things around so that you can properly place mail, then you take the time to do it. It doesn't matter how long it takes you. Now, you don't want to be over there lollygagging, for lack of a better phrase, but if you are about your business, then it takes you whatever time it takes you. That's what you call providing service, which we all seem to care so much about. And I would be remiss in my duties as a podcaster if I didn't reach across the aisle to APWU mail processors. Let me say to you, as a former letter carrier, you got to be more careful with that DPS mail that you send out of the station. Again, this ain't got shit to do with postal management. This is about clerks helping carriers, okay? Don't lose the perspective. Hey, mail processors, imagine, if you will, you're out in the cold. You've got 5 or 6 trays of mail, of DPS mail, in your truck. And as you start to deliver it, you realize 3 of the trays don't even belong to your route. Can you imagine the level of frustration? Now, at one point, the carrier's probably happy because that's 3 less trays of mail they got to deliver that day. But he's also thinking those 3 trays are going to show up at some point. But to the mail processor, I used a colorful illustration to try to explain to you, you got to be more careful with the mail you send out to these associate offices. And the only reason I mention that is because I currently have a bid on the dock, and I watch all that mail coming back from offices because you sent it to the wrong office. Yes, I'm sure a lot more supervision involvement doing checks of the mail throughout the night would probably eliminate that. But nonetheless, you have a responsibility. If you are running 2 zones on a machine, it is critical that you separate those zones. Don't allow yourself to think that because they run both zones on 1 DB or delivery barcode sorter, that they're delivered by the same office. And yes, I'm making light of the situation. But have respect for that letter carrier who's out there dealing with the elements, and the least you could do is become a lot more proficient in the manner in which you send DPS mail out to the stations. Now, I gotta say to you, I know the issue is not the pie carts, because maintenance has already made it publicly known that all you have to do is put a repair tag on it and they're going to fix it. So we know that's not the issue. So whatever it may be, you probably need to take the time a little bit and understand that equipment a little better. And again, do that out of respect for the letter carrier. Make sure you send good mail to them, so when they're out there, that which they load in their truck, they will deliver. And I know some of you might think, well, they can check it before they leave. Unless times have changed in delivery units, the optimal situation for DPS mail is you pick it up on your way out the door, because that kind of confidence is placed in plant operations that you're going to send me the right product every day so my carrier can deliver it. But you and I both know that is not always the case. So mail processors, have a little more love and respect for that letter carrier. And, you know, just heighten your sense of awareness just a little more and be very particular on the mail you sent to the station and to the route. Make sure it belongs to that station and that route. I'm going to close today's podcast on a very sad note. I learned today of the passing of one of our mail handlers, a young lady by the name of Vaughn Tissa. We called her Vaughn. She was a very special sister to me, and I want to say to her that you're going to be missed, my sister.